Lauren Long joins me in the studio tonight. He's the author and illustrator of the New York Times bestselling Otis series. He's also the illustrator of the number one New York Times bestseller of Thee I Sing by Barack Obama, as well as over a dozen other children's books. He lives right here in Cincinnati, and we're always glad when he stops by to talk about his latest book. In this case, it is titled Love. It's written by Newbery Medal Award winner Michael De La Pena, and it's illustrated by Lauren, and it has debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Lauren, it's so good to see you.
Great to be here, Barbara. Thanks.
You know, here and there, I hear that what's purported to be an old Chinese curse, the one about may you live in interesting times, and we certainly do, but interesting times often bring forth interesting responses. So it's almost Valentine's Day. I'm thinking of Lin-Manuel Miranda's Love is Love is Love. And now here's this beautiful book of love for children and certainly any adult who picks it up to read it. It's beautiful in its text and certainly in your wonderful artwork, but it's also honest. And I read that you have said it includes imperfection like love itself. So I'm sort of curious about the very first time you picked up Matt's text. Do pictures jump into your head, or do you sit with it for a while, or describe your process, if you would, to us?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I read Love as the title when my agent gave me this text. And then I read Matt De La Pena, and I was familiar and a fan of his work. And what I've tried to do with all of my books, my entire career, is give children love. So I was instantly grabbed. I was instantly in. But then when I read his text, it wasn't just lovey-dovey. It was a little surprising in a couple of places. And it was very honest about how love is sometimes beautiful and perfect. And other times it's a little unfinished or a little overworked or a little messy, a little raw, a little vulnerable. And what comes through in this book, Love, I believe, in this picture book, is a wonderful sense of warmth and hope, even in the midst of an imperfect world.
I want you to give us a sample, if you will, from Love, and read a couple of pages, and then describe the artwork that couples that text. So we're going to begin at the very beginning of Love.
Excellent. And if you don't mind, I'll add that I've been touring with Matt, and we're on a few-day break here. But we've been in schools and libraries and bookstores, and I've been hearing Matt read this, and he recites it like a spoken word poem, because it is. It's a poetic exploration of love in a life. So I'm going to attempt to bring that level to my reading. There's nothing more fun than listening to an author read his own work.
Yes.
And I'm the illustrator of this book, so I'm reading his words. Here we go. In the beginning, there is light and two wide-eyed figures standing near the foot of your bed, and the sound of their voices is love. A cab driver plays love softly on his radio while you bouncing back with the bumps of the city. And everything smells new, and it smells like life.
And who do we see in the accompanying artwork?
In this spread, now see, when you're an illustrator, you want to illustrate, obviously, you want to get to the heart of the author's words. So the actual moment in this scene of Matt's love example is in the background, in a silhouetted child and parent in the back of a cab. But in the foreground, we have a little dog and a little boy handing a hot dog to somebody who looks like they might need it. And it was important for me, Barbara, in this book to represent as much diversity and as much inclusion as possible in this theme of love. And not only racial diversity, but socioeconomic diversity. And then also represent other people in this world we live in. Actually, I'll just share that there's a family that lived down the street from me, and I've witnessed from an arm length away this wonderful little boy who's in a wheelchair. And I've watched them from a distance, and I don't even know them all that well, but I've become friends with the mother. And I just see the courage in their lives and the obstacles that they face every day that I don't. And that little boy, I want him to see himself in my book.
Yes.
So I have the little boy in a wheelchair.
So what's next? What do you want to share with us next?
There's some great moments in this book
yes.
that I'm very proud of, and it's fun to be a part of. In a crowded concrete park, you toddle towards summer sprinklers while older kids skip rope and run up the slide, and soon you're running among them, and the echo of your laughter is love.
And this is a real urban scene where
right.
somebody's opened the fire hydrant
yeah.
and the policeman is playing with the children.
Exactly.
And the children are obviously of various colors and ethnicities. And
right.
then there are fire people in the background.
Right.
Not just firemen, but a firewoman.
We have maybe she's Asian, and then an African-American fireman. Yeah. And I love how this book isn't, Barbara, by the way. It isn't about race.
Right.
You know, it's about people. It's
right.
about love. But it's important to me to include, to be as inclusive as I can.
So I think if you would go to one that mirrors, it brought up 9/11 to me,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly could be, as you said before we went on the air, any tragedy that occurs in our society on mm-hmm. a too regular basis.
Right. So what Matt's doing in his words here is he's carrying us through examples of love. And there's a certain turning point in this book where there are a couple of a little bit sadder or more truthful, perhaps a little darker moments. And this is one of the ones, and I'll read this spread. One day you find your family nervously huddled around the TV, but when you ask what happened, they answer with silence and shift between you and the screen. So what I've done is I've shown a family sort of from behind, and they're all huddled around anxiously around a screen. And then you have a little child on the far right, even across the page turn, which really I've used as a device to separate her even more. And then the grandmother, who has a pot holder and a spatula and an apron, is saying, wait, wait, hold off, putting her hand up. That alone is an act of love. It was important for me not to show anything on that screen. It's just a glow. And it represents something bad that's
yes.
happened. And it's pumped through everybody's TV. Certainly, for me, I refer to this as the 9/11 scene, but it certainly could be something else for anyone.
So there's so many wonderful words and pictures in this book, but go, if you would, to the double picture of a young child and read those words for us and tell us about the child that you've drawn.
I will. What I love about this text as I arrive to that is how it goes from accepting love in the beginning to in the various ways of feeling love. And then there's even a sort of a nightmare dream spread. But the child comes out on the other end in the arms of a loved one. And then it goes from accepting love in a passive way to recognizing love and recognizing a love that wakes at dawn and rides to work on the bus. A slice of burned toast that tastes like love is another image that I love, because then the poem takes a turn and it's like we're asking children to recognize love that you might have overlooked, love that doesn't say, I love you, you know, and is present, even in unspoken words, like a grandfather fishing with you. He may not talk for 4 hours, but that act is love. And then, like you were saying, your uncle's talking, you know, smack in the backyard over a game of horseshoes. The sound of that is love. But then the most important is I have a spread in this where Matt's words say, and the face staring back in the bathroom mirror, this too is love.
And what is this face that we see?
As the illustrator, this was fun for me because I was able to slow the thing down. In my mind, I just wanted to be bold. And I have this big face across the spread. And it's a brown face of some kind. And the eyes are piercing, staring right at you. And I love this moment it's my favorite moment. I think it's the most important moment in the book, Love, because it's saying, look in the mirror. And we hope, we all need to see love when we look in the bathroom mirror staring back at us. We need to see the ability to love ourselves, and we need to see the ability to love others and the world. So this is an important moment. I chose to use a brown face because I believe that, and we're not sure exactly what ethnicity this is, but I do believe that mixed race is becoming one of the largest demographics. And I think that's something that we want to represent. You know, it's important for me, Barbara, looking like I do, a guy from the Midwest, to acknowledge that. And I want children that read my books to see that, to see themselves in my work.
Well, and how this enriches our lives. You know, it's the story of America, and to exalt that in a time when it isn't always, is a real gift to children. We just have a couple of minutes, but I do want to ask you this because I think it's such an inspirational message to people, all of us who have challenges in our life. We all have some, whatever they are. And as a child, you learned of one from a doctor who diagnosed you as colorblind. And here you are, a nationally acclaimed artist. So one of the things that struck me when I read you're talking about this was that your mom was instantly there for you. So we're back to this love, and you have it now also, as I understand, from your wonderful wife and kids and all of us who appreciate you. But I'm just curious, can you describe to us what color looks like when you're colorblind? Because you do, as I understand it, see some color, but differently.
Right. Yeah. So my colorblindness is red-green. It's very common. Apparently, 1 out of 12 male people have a degree of what I have. I can't see the difference in brown and green very well. Blue and purple are almost identical. Navy blue and dark purple, I can't distinguish. You have either a purple vest with a blue sweater, or they're both blue, and or they're both purple, and I'll believe whatever you tell me. And then the gray tones. And if anyone's interested, there was a New York Times article written about my colorblindness and the way it was discovered. And there were two reasons. I never wanted to talk about it all my career because, number one, I was worried that it would hurt my ability to get work. Nobody would want to work with me. And number two, I didn't want to bring attention to this as some kind of major malfunction, you know, that I'm overcoming, because there are far greater accomplishments that people are dealing with every day. It's an obstacle for me daily that is always there, but I've learned to work around it. It was very difficult. I was 14 years old when a doctor told my mom, and he said, "It's okay, Mrs. Long. It's no big deal. 1 out of every 12 men have it. And, you know, it's okay as long as he doesn't want to be an electrician, a dermatologist." And then he chuckled and said, "Or an artist." And by that time, I had started realizing that art might be my calling. Yes. And I was starting to become the artist in the family, starting to think about what's my place in the world. And I went out into the car, and a tear streamed down, and my mom said, what's wrong? And I said, "He said artist." And what you're talking about is my mother forcefully, with all the strength inside her, grabbed my knee and squeezed my knee and gritted her teeth and said, "Lauren, your art is beautiful. Don't let anyone ever tell you you can't be an artist. And now, you know, all these years later, Barbara, that's what we're talking about in this book,
yes.
Love. That was an act of absolute, direct, and strong and immediate love. If she hadn't been there, I might have listened to the optometrist. He's a doctor. He's a professional. He's a grown-up. He's an authority. And he just told me I can't be an artist, unbeknownst to him. You know, he didn't know,
yes.
Of course. So, yeah, that's sort of my story.
Of love. And we're so glad you listened to your mom. Again, with Valentine's Day so near, I can't resist mentioning another love affair that's going on in Cincinnati and certainly beyond that. It's with a very big baby named Fiona. And you were a part of wishing her a very sweet first birthday. What did you do? What were you? I don't know if you were invited to do this or offered to do it, but it's really charming. So,
yeah. Oh, well, I've had a really nice friendship with the Cincinnati Zoo, not only as a fan, but I did a new Cincinnati Zoo Babies poster a couple of years ago. And so when Grater's Ice Cream was celebrating Fiona's birthday with their new flavor, seasonal flavor called Chunky Chunky Hippo, they invited me to illustrate a picture of Fiona, to make a couple of pictures of Fiona to go on their ice cream pint carton to be a label. And yeah, I joke around. This is, I've had a lot of, you know, sort of high profile, awesome projects in my career. And that's, I might be done because illustrating, first of all, for my favorite ice cream and to be a part of the Fiona phenomenon.
Right.
And Fiona's story is nothing short of an amazing story of love.
Yes.
Really, those caretakers at the zoo, those people like you and me that spent around-the-clock attention to giving that little creature love, no doubt brought her around, along with the doctors from Cincinnati Children's. And yeah, it's like it's a big, warm, fuzzy story of love and how love can conquer,
yes,
I believe.
Lauren Long, you are a happy Valentine's Day gift to us year-round. Thank you so much for visiting with us tonight.
Thanks, Barbara. So great to see you.
Delightful to be with you. I've been talking with Lauren Long about his latest book. It is titled Love, for which Matt De La Pena wrote the text and Lauren did the illustrations. It has debuted at number one on the New York Times list. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.